6.3 FM. I'm your host, Robert Norris. This is Bathrob Spears Broadsides, 2 hours in the evening on Thursdays, where we tune in to the streets and check out what's going on out there, raise the cry of basic civil rights for folks whose rights are being essentially and repeatedly denied here in Santa Cruz. Particularly appropriate on this 4th of July, since that's what the 4th of July was all about. It was a declaration of independence from the tyranny of England back in 1776, and actually the actual separation and the organizing and the rebellion happened several years before. It was only by 1776 that began to drag along the rest of the upper class, and they got involved, but it was pretty much a done deal by that time. We aren't a done deal. We're in the midst of struggle here in Santa Cruz. Most recently, the merchants have raised a hue and cry, not satisfied with the stepped-up police crackdown against musicians, vendors, artists, spare changers, folks just hanging out downtown. They are asking for new ordinances, new laws, new policies, new enforcement practices that clear away the unsightly, the unwashed, the unwanted. They call these the folks with the problematic behavior. And while there are some concerns that obviously are problems in the downtown area, vandalism to bathrooms, sexual harassment, public urination and defecation, though we don't have really 24-hour bathrooms, we have a couple of 24-hour porta-potties. The main problems, as far as a lot of this are concerned, and as far as I guess the great majority of votes at the Downtown Problem Subcommittee on Monday, which met at 6 o'clock under the council leadership of Emily Riley and Ed Porter, they voted for police harassment as being the number one problem, which of course shocked Dan White of the Sentinel, who showed up late and expressed his disbelief and concern in a front page article yesterday, which we're going to be talking about. Before we do, though, we're going to play some interviews from the streets. In fact, most of the show is going to be about the streets, and it's going to be kind of picking up on a lot of folks who have their own voices and who want to speak out but can't make it to the studio. That's why I go out on the streets with a tape recorder. However, you can make it to the studio if you want, because there's a phone line. You can call in 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. You don't just have to call in during my show, though, of course, appreciate it if you would call in. Let me know what you're thinking. But you can call in at any time you see something happening on the streets that you think is inappropriate or untoward or abusive. You know, whoever's doing it in terms of, I'm particularly concerned, of course, about unjust behavior by authorities, since I think they're the most dangerous, but you can talk about anything you want. I'm particularly interested in seeing a documented record made of all harassment by police and authorities downtown that's happening. And so if it happens to you or you see it happen, please give a call. You can talk about it on the air, but you can also call the Huff line. And Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a civil rights group for the homeless. And it's easy to reach, 423-4833. It's a 24-hour line. You just call in and report what you've seen. If you can, you know, who, where, when, what happened, what cops were involved, what time of day. But even if you don't get all the details, or even if it's a secondhand report, please call it in and say, this is what I know of it, either firsthand or secondhand, and I will try to track down more accounts. What we need to do is get specifics that get to the city council and eventually to other agencies like the, I don't know, whatever, I guess we have the state attorney general, though they say they're only concerned with civil matters. There, of course, if our civil rights violations can go to the FBI or the federal courts. Violations can be the basis for significant lawsuits in state courts as well. Most important, they can persuade the community that this outcry that the merchants raise periodically, a special interest outcry, which essentially is, gee, the sidewalks aren't our property enough already. We want to clear away the public's right to use it still further. That's unfortunately what it is, I think, a lot of times, and that's what this latest outcry from the Candy Jackson considerations for a petition has been, in my mind. There has been some violence downtown. There is violence in different parts of the town. There's been some killings over on Mission Street. But you don't see them raising vigilante groups to go after the hit-and-run drivers over there. No. What you see downtown is they are blaming people who are unsightly because merchants just want to get rid of them, and it's a nice reason to go after them. And though we hear that, oh, we don't want to go after the colorful people, I've heard this from Candy, who's pressing this these concerns, I don't see Candy agreeing to meet with members of the community who are in the other groups in any kind of, you know, widespread or regular way. We did have two meetings of the downtown, what's it called, the Downtown Problems group that the city council is running. It's essentially token meetings before they come back to city council with their proposals. And I'm going to talk more about that. I will be very, very surprised. In fact, I've offered to buy Dan White, the Sentinel reporter, lunch. Or is it dinner? I don't know what. If actually the city council comes back with some concerns about police harassment, even though that was the major issue discussed, that was the major issue raised, Dan White, for all his mentioning it and tisking it and saying, boy, this means the committee isn't going to go anywhere because those merchants don't want to deal with police harassment, doesn't go into the specifics of police harassment, doesn't talk about the particulars, which, of course, one would think that a real journalist would. If that's the major item, one would think that the journalist researching what's going on would look into that. And indeed, he should. That's what we do on this show. We're going to start playing some interviews now. The initial bunch of stuff we're playing is a bit of a flashback. About 2 weeks ago, the Right to Sleepwalkers came through town. That's a group going from San Diego all the way up to Sacramento. They went through San Francisco on July 1st. I think they're now headed to Sacramento. And I'm going to join them there. Others are going to be invited to join them on the 10th if you'd like to go to Sacramento and stand up for the right to essentially survive. It's also the right to sleep. You can't survive unless you can sleep legally at night. And many, many jurisdictions in the state have made that illegal. Santa Cruz, one of the most notorious, with its sleeping ban. And apparently all the people's horses and all the people's men have not yet been able to tear that damn sleeping ban down. Instead, we have people who were once supposed opponents, mayors of town like Chris Crone, doing absolutely nothing about it and not speaking or advocating on it in any way, even though he came into office on the promise to end the sleeping ban quite clearly. Let's hear a little bit from the Right to Sleepwalkers as they came through town 2 weeks ago.
This is a public soapbox. It's actually a public sidewalk until they decide to clear everybody away with this, that, or the other regulation that they're working on at the Tuesday City Council meeting. Also, I want to remind you that the folks who are walking to Sacramento are an open group. They want you to join them. And they don't. You don't walk all the way all the time. You walk. Maybe someone can explain how this walk works. You want to stand up? Stand up on the soapbox and shout it out, brother. You can do it.
I know my legs are bad.
What's your name?
Floyd.
Well, you got to talk loud to these folks.
Okay, well, what we do is we walk till we can't walk anymore. We're like the freeway, you know, where there's no place to walk. Then we ride. But we like to walk like in a town, make people aware so we can talk to people, give them flyers. We got flyers, we got bank beater signs, and the more names we have on that paper, the governor has got to listen to us. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to have to listen when we get there.
You're listening all along.
I know it, but he's the one that's got to sign that deal that makes homeless people just as good as they are.
You're here.
That's right.
So you can join this walk. And tomorrow at noon, it's leaving from City Hall, which is two blocks down and two blocks over at 809 Center Street. For those who want to be a...
Cigarettes and food, and all you need is a bedroll.
And cigarettes and food are available on the walk for those of you who need them, but you got to bring a bedroll. So that's what's happening with this right. And
everybody to fight.
All right. No alcohol. No fighting. No bullshit. That's what we got on this walk coming up. Yeah. Why don't you come up here and talk? So make sure you pull up those pants. So you can't show your breasts downtown anymore. You know. Don't want to do that. What's your name, brother?
My name is Claudio.
Talk to the group.
My name is Claudio.
Go ahead, Claudio.
And I have never had a ticket for sleeping.
Louder.
I have never had a ticket for sleeping on Pacific Avenue. However, I did walk into the cafe roasting company, Santa Cruz Cafe Roasting Company, and I went into the UN store and asked if I could use the phone. And the woman said, sure, you could use the phone. And I thanked her, and I said, I've been in other towns where I've gone to the UN store, and they've let me check my email and use the phone, and it's been good for me. And she said, well, it's not a service we provide, but I'm letting you do it. And I said, thank you. And I said, I'll bet you have a internet computer right behind this wall. And I looked behind the wall, and there was a computer there with a bunch of different screens on one screen, a bunch of surveillance screens up and down Pacific Avenue, meaning that there's a bunch of...
And indeed, there are cameras in front of the coffee roasting company that let them observe from the inside what's going on outside, and there are several cameras on the mall that surveil. In fact, I think some of them are actually on the net. You can actually get to them. I don't know the actual website, but I'm sure that some listeners may know that. Also want to mention to you that Cop Watch is due to meet in 10 minutes. I don't know if they're actually going to do it on the 4th of July, but I'm going to give a call, see if I can get a hold of Cop Watch. There's actually a fellow with a cellular phone. Try to get an update from him and see whether Cop Watch is, in fact, meeting today. Actually, as I said, it would be quite appropriate to meet today. And they are meeting, if they are, at the Loudoun Nelson Park, which is at Laurel. And Center Streets are actually Laurel and kind of half a block from there. But most folks know where the Loudoun Nelson Center is. And if you do, and you're interested and you're in the neighborhood, you might check it out. with Cop Watch. They actually had two meetings so far, and they're planning to meet regularly every Thursday at 6:30. So, I'm giving a call here. I'm getting a, yeah, we need a long-distance company access to get through to that number, and this phone don't have that. So, maybe we'll hear from Jake, who's one of the apparently 10 or 20 people who've been meeting at least, who've met at least twice for this new Cop Watch, which will be the third such effort in Santa Cruz under that name in the last decade. First, Skidmark Bob and Kim Candlelight Kim Orgula were involved with that. And then there was a second effort. What was his name? Smiling Bob? Frowning Bob? Yeah, there's another Bob. He got involved around 99. There was a second Cop Watch effort. This will be the third, and I think it's particularly appropriate. And until we actually have a Cop Watch in town, I'm going to encourage all of you out there again, and I'm going to keep repeating this throughout the show, if anything is happening on the mall, or even in Santa Cruz generally, that involves police, host, authority, merchant misconduct, please phone it in to Huff at Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF. Give the time, the place it happened, who was involved, what you saw or what you heard, because we're going to try to compile an actual factual list of incidents that are happening where there's selectively enforced laws, where poor people are specifically targeted, where hippies or homeless people or young people or skateboarders or punks or whatever you will get the treatment that they don't deserve, and that it seems to be part of the gentrification process downtown. We've seen the Forbidden Fence go in front of the New Leaf Market, where Alibaba's Cafe and Sushi Now, boycott them both, please, and tell them why you're doing so, have, in essence, privatized part of the sidewalk with the behind-the-scenes in assistance, if not direction, of the Downtown's Association and the Redevelopment Agency, and perhaps the connivance of the Del Mar Theater Management, where Swenson and Au have some interest in the getting a certain crowd of people there and eliminating another crowd of people there. And I don't know. We haven't got the smoking gun on that particular allegation. It's been a suggestion. But certainly we see benches being pulled out. We see police being sent on all kinds of minor crackdowns. We're going to play some more tape now that talks about that. This is tape from about a week ago, and about June 26th or so. And if you want to call in with your own stories, thoughts, suggestions, criticisms, please do. 427-3772.
Justin Boyer.
And Justin, we're in front of the library, and it's about 15 to 1. You apparently tried to toss away some old donuts and got hassled by the police.
Well, yeah, I missed the dumpster, and I didn't realize that I'd missed the dumpster. I might have been being careless. I mean, I would admit that, but I at least corrected my mistake, and the officer said, "No, you're littering, and I can give you a ticket for that." And I said, "Well, I'll pick it up." And then he still wrote me a ticket for littering, and then I also got a ticket for panhandling on private property.
Private property.
Private property was the city sidewalk. Now, I know that there's a city...
Where was this?
Right in front of the Candy Noise. I now have a restraining order against that place.
What is Candy Noise?
Candy Noise is a capitalist ice cream place for little kids.
Where is it?
It's on Pacific, right next to the... it's called the Candy Miller or something.
What is it near?
It's right next to the Roasters.
Coffee Roasting Company?
Yeah, you might want to get the name straight, but anyway...
They got a restraining order against you?
Yes, they do. They said that after I threw the box of donuts on the ground, I illicitly asked somebody for change, putting my cup in front of them, which I never did that. I had my cup at least 4 feet from them. I never asked for change. I said I was hungry, if anybody could help, and I was only on the sidewalk, and I was not just asking her customers. I was asking everybody on the sidewalk, and I totally stood, defended my own self in court, totally had libel claims and everything and the police officer couldn't even admit that I had picked up the box of donuts and that
who
he couldn't
was the
even,
police officer?
I don't even remember his name.
What court
they
was
were
it?
They were so sly, they came in totally ununiformed, couldn't even show their face really.
Now, was this in the court in the basement of the county building?
Yes, it was.
Never do that. Always everybody out there. Disqualify Mulligan. That's the judge in the county building courtroom. That's one of the reasons you lost, but you wouldn't have known that unless... I think actually I told you about that, but
well,
nonetheless, it's a good thing to do is disqualify
Mulligan. I can't believe the hate crime that's going on here as far as the homeless people, and someone's just trying to keep themselves fed. And anymore, that's just become a task. And I know that they say, oh, go to the Elm Street thing, go to the homeless shelter. That's a bunch of crap. That's for people who will eat slop from anywhere and are used to getting it from dumpsters. And they're just as fine as getting a burrito filled with meat or a soup with who knows what kinds of lettuce or who's touched it.
Thank you. We're talking with Tim Rinker, a disenfranchised DJ from Free Radio. It's about 4:15 here on a beautiful Wednesday at the farmers market. Tim, what happened?
Oh well, it was I was basically booted off of Free Radio during the move after they got kicked out of Campbell Street House.
Right.
I was told by Skidmark Bob that they needed to limit the DJs, the number of DJs to 15, and so therefore I was my show was canceled.
And how long have you been a broadcaster on Free Radio?
I'd been doing it, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe longer, I don't know. It's hard to say now. It's been a while since that all happened. After I started getting involved with the TV station, community TV station.
So you actually stepped up from the small gang of introverted, or should we say inverted, or shall we say cabalistic, well, how would you describe the Free Radio inner group?
Well, you know, I've always hoped that they would be a cooperative run by consensus, and that was my impression when they first started, and I went to all the meetings, or most of the meetings, because I wanted to participate. And this was not done at a meeting. It was just kind of, so basically my feelings are, you know, it's unfortunate, but these institutions that supposedly we look to as being alternative, or, you know, turn out in the end to be just as ego and personality driven as anything else. And, you know, I had no say in the matter, and I,
well, have you attempted to apply again? There's a application form that you're supposed to send in, and people who have previously been broadcasters are looked upon favorably, and there are spots.
I haven't looked into it.
Well, now's your chance.
Well, I may look into it. Maybe they've changed.
Thank you, Mr. Rinker. You are, of course, an artist and a man of the streets.
I'm looking for paid gigs, but I do like... I like the concept behind Free Radio. I just wish that in practice it would be the same way.
Be better. Fireman? Walk on by to heaven. So street artist Tim Rinker is defying the law by chalking illegally on the sidewalk. What is wrong with this man? Will no police officers arrest him for his vicious hopscotch chalking? What has come? I heard last night at City Council that there was a breakdown of law and order, and I've got to tell you, I'm watching criminal behavior in front of my very eyes right here on the sidewalk. How can this individual engage in this kind of criminal behavior here in Santa Cruz? Come on through. Disgracing the very name of Santa Cruz with this kind of, juvenile behavior. Look at this hopscotch. I mean, what's happening here? Officer, over here, please, do something about these people. Well, they are engaging in some hopscotch, actually drawing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, and the businesses are complaining people won't shop there.
People won't shop on the sidewalk anymore. Yeah, it's a serious problem. We're going to work on it. So we are interrupting a kiss between Mark Levy and some woman here. Are you related in some way?
Sort of.
I see. Well, all right. Mark, you just came. You're a folk singer.
New York, too.
You're both from New York.
We're from New York.
Well, you're a notorious folk singer. You're, of course, known for the infamous chanty 999 points of light. How about a quick selection?
It's a quick selection of what?
Well, 999 points of light.
I have a shop on a street in town where hungry folks walk up and down. Some have no home, some sick from want. So I went and got some food from a restaurant. All right.
Hey, that's it. And, of course, the chorus, then. Who can forget the chorus?
30 days in the county jail. Hold my mails. Hold my mails. See, I forgot.
You're doing good.
Serving soup.
That was my crime, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time.
That was a song you composed in honor of Sandy Loringer.
Whatever happened to her?
She is around, but she doesn't talk to me anymore, as so many people don't.
All right. Well, it's good that she's still around. I wouldn't want her to be a square.
Well, nicely put. So here you are at the farmer's market, and you notice there are many people doing strange things, chalking on the sidewalk. Others are walking around with vegetables and things.
I just kind of chalked that up to mischief myself.
I guess so. Yeah. It's, the city council last night did vote to look into the downtown problems.
I've been in New York for the last month,
well,
so I don't know what the problems
are.
I'll tell you what the problems are in New York. All kinds of stuff. People aren't, the city's going, they're stopping recycling. Bloomberg just got it through that they're going to actually cut back on recycling.
And that was about a week ago. Farmers Market, talking to musician Mark Levy and chalk artist Tim Rinker, who 2 days later was taken away in handcuffs for chalking on the sidewalk in front of Neil's Surf Shop at a political table right around the corner from the first meeting of the Downtown Problems Committee. We're going to now skip to the second meeting of the Downtown Problems Committee. There actually should be an agenda out. I'm not sure if it's already out. Since today is the 4th of July, there's nothing happening at City Hall. Usually the agenda comes out today. They may have delayed it a day, or they may have done it early on Wednesday. But on Sunday, when this show returns, we will have, hopefully, both the agenda and the staff report, which will tell us what council members Emily Riley and Ed Porter are bringing back to City Council from this committee, which has been sampling public opinion while its police arrest members of the public who give that opinion for chalking that opinion in erasable chalk on the sidewalk outside. Sort of an interesting counterpoint going on there. In fact, the committee initially completely ignored the basic issues that the majority of those who attended the meetings were concerned about, police harassment, and they're still no doubt going to be ignoring them. I'm almost positive, although who knows? You know, we could always see Emily Riley experience a religious conversion, or Ed Porter actually get back to the principles which he was advocating like 15 years ago when he talked about a campground. He hasn't talked about it since in any meaningful way, or the sleeping ban, which he promised to move to repeal to the Green Party when they endorsed him, but did no such thing once he got in office. But I've been through that before with these council members who are supposedly some of the most liberal ones. And if that's the case, you know, watch your back as Rotkin, Matthews, and perhaps Byers come recycling back onto council in November. That's what they're coming down the pike. Anyway, let's hear a little from the second meeting of the Downtown Committee. Initially, what happened was Emily Riley wanted to have everybody kind of jump into interest groups so they could sort of each person represent, have a spokesperson, and that spokesperson come back with some suggestions, and those suggestions be taken to the city council and so forth. But, of course, it was ridiculous to try to do this in the space of two meetings with 40 people in each meeting, and the whole idea of doing anything in such a short period of time was pretty preposterous. Whereas, for example, when homeless issues are brought up, they suddenly lengthen it over weeks and months and then do absolutely nothing anyway. If the merchants raise a clamor, then wham, bam, they're into the emergency mode and having special meetings. They don't even have 72-hour Brown Act notice. There are special meetings that get a 24-hour notice, which is legal under the Brown Act, but it shows the kinds of priorities and differential treatment that merchants get. So it's okay for there to be a standing practice of not allowing poor people to sleep at night in Santa Cruz after 11 o'clock. That's the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance, which criminalize sleeping in your vehicle or outside on paying a $54 fine. But it's not enough that police are running around beating people up for dropping breadcrumbs on the sidewalk and then refusing to sit still for tickets for that, or getting stopped for driving while brown or black. And I have observed or gotten accounts of three instances of this from the same two female police officers, it sounds like. I think it's Officer Andrews and Officer Bynes. I could have that wrong, but that's what I'm getting, and we're going to be playing some of that tape today, too. So instead of looking at the real problems, the city council, of course, jumps into the merchant agenda, which is, we need stiffer laws against panhandling. Let's cover up those women's nipples downtown. Oh, no more gatherings of more than six for an hour at the most. Get rid of street vendors, etc., etc., etc. I mean, all this stuff is old hat. We've heard it for years. The problem is that the real issues, which have to do with basic civil rights for everyone, are being ignored. And indeed, some of the real concerns of the merchants, which have to do with their lack of communication with people on the streets and the kinds of polarity, or polarization, I should say, and hostility between the groups that happens, and results in essentially indifference to the rights of both groups. When you get this kind of situation, people don't, you know, they don't help each other in these two groups the way they should. I mean, if we have people who are being violent in any circumstances, that's not good. But this big attack on people for simply engaging in selling jewelry or showing their musical CDs or selling roses for donation in front of the Cinema 9 is so obviously directed at poor people, and with the ludicrous and fallacious excuse, but the familiar excuse, that poor people being visibly present present a difficulty to businesses downtown instead of actually their color to the town. You know, I mean, it's kind of sad to think that poor people are, all they are is color to the town, but it is true, they are, as well as being, you know, real people, they're also color to the town. They provide actually a draw, but you get, I think, merchants who are so apprehensive that they want to bring back that 10% of the customers that want to insist on turning the downtown into a gated mall type area and sacrifice the spirit of Santa Cruz for that. And that's already happened to a large extent for my money, unfortunately, but there are some who want it to happen even more, and the police are making sure it happens, and we're trying to fight back against that, those of us who are concerned about this, by, again, encouraging you to document anything that happens downtown that smacks of discrimination, false and selective enforcement, false arrest, harassment by authorities, that sort of thing. Let's hear what Bernard Klitzner and others had to say. You're going to hear a mixture of merchants and other folks talking at the downtown second meeting of the Downtown Problems Committee. And this was on Monday. As I said, the background was on Friday. They arrested Chalkers, Becky Johnson and Tim Rinker, and other folks have continued to chalk. I mean, I've myself been purchasing sidewalk chalk at various stores. I know that I'm on some of Tom Ridge's lists, and who knows, Chief Belcher's as well. But I think that the right to chalk on the sidewalk with erasable chalk is legitimate and actually a positive thing. And we're going to hear some more about that whole issue as we proceed to hear this discussion at the Downtown Problems Committee.
Our community. Certainly, you know, merchants must know, you know, that homeless people as a class is suffering every night, that they can't sleep. That's the greatest evil of them all.
If I hear you correctly, when you're saying that the
sleeping
issue
ban is, should be part of that.
Homeless people being discriminated against.
Has a big marker is going along.
One part of it would be to start to deal with the sleeping ban. Yes. Okay. And the second issue is, you know, is police harassment. Let's take a case that happened last Sunday. Sergeant Baker should really know about this. I've listened to everybody.
Now, the hubbub here was certain merchants and indeed certain council members didn't want Bernard to mention Sergeant Baker was standing in the back of the room, but since Baker was the lead baton, so to speak, in the beating of breadcrumb terrorist Norman Friedberg, the man who was beaten and arrested after he refused to accept a ticket for littering, for leaving breadcrumbs around after the Foo Na Bombs meal a week ago Monday. And Baker has also staked us out on last Sunday for chalking big time. He wanted to catch people who were chalking on the sidewalk. He had six officers there, two CSOs and four police officers, and a couple of hosts, too, on different occasions. That was last Sunday afternoon. So Baker, and he also attends these meetings. I have a suspicion he's also, frankly, engaging in Sentinel online discussion, which is fine. I'm glad he engages in these things. And I hope that if you're listening, Sergeant Baker, feel free to call in. And I don't, if Chief Belcher doesn't like it, tough. I think that police officers have a right to comment on these issues. However, Bernard was interrupted because he mentioned the forbidden name of Sergeant Baker. But unfortunately, you, as I tell The Alarm, that weekly newspaper again and again, you've got to name names. And I'm glad Bernard does.
not interrupted anybody. I want to say my piece, you know. For instance, you know, on Sunday, you know, we were going to do a chalk-in, you know, right down the street here, and we announced it on the air, you know, and the police was listening, you know, to free radio, and they came down there with six officers watching for us for hours about a chalk-in. Now, what about all the other residents in this city that are having real crime, you know, so I would vote, you know, let's do chalk-ins and police harassment. Thank you.
And you'd like us to focus on
police harassment and allow people to have a space to do chalking.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Lee Meyer?
I'm similar to what he was just discussing. I just noticed that I believe that it's issue 20. Mine doesn't have letters on it, and I've got eyes strained, so someone's going to have to locate these for me. On 7th over there, I believe too many police, more social workers. What really needs to be more police as social workers, because 80% of what they're doing is basically social work to start with, and they need to remember that. Vandalism is unacceptable. I suspect this committee will have no success at it because, to a great extent, it is their own children. And whether they want their children in jail for felony graffiti or something like that really remains to see how stiff an upper lip they have. And the other thing is, and it generally is about everything and a whole bunch of things. I'm looking at public, don't mark these down yet. I'm looking at public intoxication, aggressive, it says panhandling, but it's behavior. Late night partying by youth, it's not just youth. Try walking by the Catalyst on a Saturday night, right? I think respect is the third one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mark
A. Back to you. Well, in respect to panhandling, I unfortunately was convicted of a drug felony since 1996 and don't get the dignity of a food stamp from this government. I mean, it's a law that breeds Bolsheviks. You know, I can't better my education because I can't get a student grant or student loan.
So the main issue you want to...
I'm saying that there's people out there panhandling because, you know, between a 4 o'clock meal and an 11 o'clock meal, there's a lot of time.
Yeah,
you know, and unless I sell drugs, panhandle, or steal it, I'm not going to get it any other way. You know, get a box of groceries. I literally have a backpack. I don't have a stove. Am I going to, what are we, carry 15 pounds of raw food around with me? You know, I mean, there are just reasons. I don't agree with being aggressive. And if aggressive is, you know, I don't agree with you know, abusing, verbally abusing, anything like that. But I'm telling you, though, there's something's got to be done about that, because every day you've got, what, even in this county, probably 100 people a day that get out of prison, get out of jail, or get out of that courtroom that you've denied all these things to, not even the decency of food stamps. The panhandling. Right. Well, yes. And I think there should be a better drug and alcohol treatment in this town. I went through Janus myself. Selective enforcement. You know, I've never had a problem with the police myself, so I can't. But I've seen it. Sure. Okay. The paneling, discrimination by police, or that goes. You know, that's. I mean, all them and above.
I don't want to put a mark on.
Sure, I understand.
You need
to get more drug and alcohol treatment. You know, I got into Janus pretty quick, but it was over a month before I could go upstairs.
Okay.
You know,
so,
and then you
so
need.
So your comments about
panhandling
being discriminated against as a panhandler.
Right.
Would that come under discrimination by police, or do you want to be a little more elaborate?
Well, they're only doing what you want them to.
Yeah.
The police wouldn't bust anybody unless the council and everybody else said, go get them.
So your issue is discrimination.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Or, yeah. Okay. And then, like I said, you know, and the other thing.
And the third
is cleaning up. You know, there's only 4 wash machines for how many thousands of homeless people you've got in this county. You know, maybe once a month you could have a barber. I know that sounds funny, but you know what? If you want them to clean up, give them the access to getting cleaned up. You know, put a little self-esteem in them. You know, hand out deodorant. As tacky as it sounds, they'd use it.
Okay.
Communicating and suddenly I'm being harassed by the police for communicating. That's one of my concerns for all the citizens here, because some of us have less than others. We have more by the grace of God, though.
I just want to be clear to that.
Number one's one of my concerns, because I don't like seeing police going after these panhandlers when these guys are hungry.
Right. So you
most of these guys have told me they want jobs. Well, that's my next concern, civil liberties. My government apparently has us all in here fighting each other because they, our government, has failed to uphold, support, and defend the California Constitution, the American Constitution. And these guys are taking our tax dollars. And they're turning around and saying, these developers, bring in another $1 million house. But I'll tell you, that 15-year-old in our high school up here, is he going to afford to live in Santa Cruz when he graduates?
No.
I've talked to so many parents who said, my child is leaving this community because he can't get an apartment. We need affordable housing. I don't know where it is up there, but it's about time somebody built some affordable housing where we don't need a credit report.
Scott, I need your help.
If you need $1,200 to move in. My Constitution, my state of California, I'm a native. And then my third one is this police harassment thing. I was wondering if what we do as citizens is when we see our police turn away from our Constitution, when they're sworn to protect and defend it, when we see our police turning away, what do we do as citizens? We run to a city council that has already created a sleeping ban, which is a life. First thing in our Constitution. One third of my life is sleeping. Pursuit of happiness. If I'm playing a guitar and Mrs. Pacific Trading Company comes running out and says, I'm standing next to a gutter, and says, your guitar is bothering my customers. Well, you know what? I've been to both China's and back playing my guitar and my piano. And I'd like to name some homeless musicians like Jewel, Jim Carrey. We don't know where these artists are going to be in 10 years. And last but not least, we're in the most richest county in California. How can anybody go in this county and be homeless when it's as simple as building some apartments that have someone like me can get into instead of renting a room in a house?
First of all, the dog thing really pisses me off. So you can't have a dog downtown.
Is that the main thing you would like to see changed downtown?
Okay. Because, you know, everybody has the right to have a dog.
And what would be second?
Second would be the abuse by the police officer.
Okay. And third?
Well, can I explain why? Because I did not do nothing. I had to get sitting down. They sat me down on the railroad tracks because I was walking on railroad tracks, and I had to get my name ran because I was just walking. And I didn't think that was fair. Third, because I'm an out-of-state resident, I can't buy anything here. I don't know. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I'll zero to appreciate, but I just have to real quickly say, first of all, I think that your original idea for the format this evening would work really well, like in a half day or full day workshop, but in a 2-hour meeting like this. So I just want to thank you folks for letting it be a democratic decision. So that's kind of what we're all about. Second thing is, I think most of my more substantive comments I'm going to make in writing because I'm not entirely comfortable with everything that's going on this evening. But according to the list, let's see, it's somewhere between number 23 and number 28.
although the way that it's phrased in number 28 is a little odd. I keep hearing more and more about problems with street musicians downtown, and the problems that I personally hear aren't with the musicians themselves, but with the way they're treated. So I think it's really important that anybody who's performing on the street do know the guidelines. They take responsibility to find out about that, you know, especially things like, you know, letting there be room for people to pass and such. And everything that I've heard is at least second to third hand, so I don't know what's going on, but I've heard enough stories to just kind of give me pause and make me wonder if there's, you know, not something going on there. The second one that I would do is B12, Officers and Hospitality, I want to speak particularly, briefly, but particularly about the Downtown Hosts, which in general I think is a very successful program. Myself and other people I know have had significant direct experience with contacting a downtown host, notifying them of illegal behavior, and having nothing be done about it. Nobody's notified. When it happened to me personally, I called the Downtown Association on the lunchhour the next day, and I was told by the Downtown Association that I had acted, that I hadn't done the right thing. I shouldn't contact the downtown host. I should have gone and called the non-emergency police number. And it took a long time for me, excuse me, what is the procedure if a member of the public notifies a downtown host? Officers first, I could not. So my question is there a specific procedure when illegal behavior, they're notified of it, and if not, would it be reasonable that there be some kind of specific procedure?
So they're not
completely
familiar, and then also the communication with the downtown
police. Well, if they don't do what I was told they were supposed to do, and when I contacted the APA, they were unresponsive as well.
Thank you.
I would put a tick mark next to sexual harassment. I was working on my
team. Okay. Just going to three out of one. Matthew?
Hi.
Hard talk?
The three issues is like Chinese restaurant here. Number 23, civil liberties concerns. Number 26, selective police or discrimination by police. And I guess you could say number 27, people eating from garbage cans. So the thing about people eating from garbage cans, I think it's really ironic that in the French Revolution, Victor Hugo said that the rich and the poor alike could sleep under the bridges in Paris. This was during the reign of the French dictator. But in Santa Cruz, we don't have the right. The poor do not have the right to sleep under the bridges. So we're even more dictatorial than the French monarchs during the French Revolution. Secondly, about selective enforcement of the laws. I don't mind people being ticketed for public drunkenness, as long as the police station an agent outside of the Catalyst, outside of the Irish pub, and outside of the other establishments that serve liquor. And these people come out, they're totally tanked. If they have to walk through their car or whatever, they're drunk in public. They should be ticketed. Okay, that would be fair enforcement. But of course, and the merchants, right? That would be. I've got 30 seconds left. That would be fair enforcement and non-discriminatory enforcement. And the third thing is about gardening, where plants and endangered species are now being used as a means of social control. Like when we had Camp Paradise by the river, you have the ecologists come out of the woodwork saying that, we care more about water newts than we do about homeless people, so we don't want these poor water newts by the river to be trampled on by these homeless people who need a place to stay. Thanks.
And we're listening to the second meeting of the Downtown Committee last Monday, which prompted a story in yesterday's Santa Cruz Sentinel by Dan White, Odds Stack Up Against Downtown Committee. Dan White describes it this way: the raucous second meeting of a Downtown Problems Panel shows will be to solve Pacific Avenue's troubles without angering people who work and hang out along the city's retail row. The 60 people who attended Monday's meeting, the largest single chunk, said police harassment and discrimination were the biggest causes for concern. But reining in police is exactly the opposite of what many merchants whose complaints about aggressive street people were a catalyst behind forming the panel want to see downtown. The committee was formed to develop plans to address social, behavioral, and criminal issues, quote-unquote, downtown, and return to the City Council by Tuesday with recommendations based on public input. But this doesn't mean the group will tell the council to crack down on cops, even though that's what the public is in essence saying. The public has showed up at this meeting. Councilwoman Emily Riley said, that's my addition, by the way, that's not Dan White. Councilwoman Emily Riley, to continue with Dan White, said all consideration, said input from meetings, emails, phone calls, and conversations with the public will be taken into consideration. Riley, serving on the committee with Ed Porter, said she's willing to make recommendations that won't please everyone in the name of improving downtown. Sometimes you recognize a successful compromise when everyone is mad at you, Riley said Tuesday. And it must be said that Riley tried to first she wanted to sort of impose her own structure on the meeting, then she recognized and acknowledged that wasn't the best thing to do after many people essentially objected, and it was led by merchants who objected. They wanted to be able to have their say, and everyone got their 3 minutes, and everyone kind of said what the big three issues were in their minds, and Riley actually went around writing those things up on the wall, or actually they were already written up on the wall. She tallied up the votes. The problem, of course, is going to be that it's going to be largely an irrelevant exercise if they don't pay some attention, and the obvious thing they could do in paying attention is, the police harassment concerns could be sent immediately to the Citizens Police Review Board for an investigation and for their first, wouldn't it be nice, public hearing. Because I know some of us have filed complaints, for example, about the Friedberg, the breadcrumb beating on Monday a week ago, where the man was beaten for not staying for a ticket, for littering because he left breadcrumbs on the sidewalk after the Food Not Bombs meal in front of Neil's Surf Shop. And then the police essentially provoked an altercation, it sounded like. I wasn't present, but I've listened to numerous witnesses, and we may hear some more today. Anyway, we're reading the story from Dan White, usually a pretty much of a white bread or whitewash kind of guy, and the Sentinel. He doesn't seem to be the words shelter for 40 people out of a population of 1,000 to 2,000 have not escaped his pen in the last 2 years, which is, of course, the basic reason that a lot of people oppose the current sleeping ban law, although some feel that there's an even broader basis for opposing it, but some say, look, if there's no shelter, you can't arrest people for sleeping. The issue of whether you can force people to go to shelters they don't want to go to is a separate issue, but White can't even get the news out in front of the public about these stats, and it's kind of, this kind of cover-up is what I think allows, it's the silent subtext downtown, where you have a lot of people hanging out, as people should have the right to hang out, but you have a situation where people are not allowed to sleep at night, and where the whole mentality of the police department, the authorities, those who are in positions of power, the city manager, wish to push these people out of sight, out of mind, and out of town, largely, or at least certainly not afford them the rights that every other citizen should have downtown. And to do that, they empower the police with these downtown ordinances that criminalize things like sitting on planters and can very, very easily be selectively enforced, sitting 10 feet from a shop, asking peacefully for a dime after dark or at any time of the day or night from a seated position, and I've recently been harassing people for improperly holding up signs requesting money. Used to be, and it is in fact provided by the law, that signs are not considered soliciting, and you are not supposed to criminalize people for signs. But now, unless you hold the sign at all times, you're considered to be behaving criminally. And unless the sign touches the ground, you're behaving criminally. And unless you're standing suddenly, it becomes criminal. So it's clearly a series of increasing restrictions that are being used to try to drive people away, make it as uncomfortable and hostile an environment as possible, and although under the guise of enforcing laws. And, of course, what we're seeing now with this downtown committee is people reacting to it and telling the council to go back and tell the police to stop cracking down on people for legitimate, natural human behavior. In fact, behavior that's actually very positive in some ways. Continuing with this story by Dan White, on Monday evening, the biggest stakeholder group was activists defending panhandlers, loiterers, and the homeless along the avenue. There were 17 votes for what this group considers police harassment and discrimination. Again, he doesn't go into the specifics of what it was. He just makes it, he paints it as something that some other interested group is describing and perhaps falsely describing. No other suggestion from cleaning up the streets of drug dealers to urging respect for everyone on the mall to anything close to that number, 17 votes. Riley said she's not sure what she'll recommend to the council, but is concerned about protecting elderly people on the avenue and wants to deal more effectively with downtown's drug problem. Which they have their own agenda beforehand, in essence, is what's being said here. She said she would not urge what she considers dramatic changes, but would start off by recommending minor improvements while calling for a long-term focus group on the downtown. Why is she holding a meeting, I ask myself. This is not Dan White, this is Robert speaking here, the host. If not to get some information, the obvious answer for her, again, as I said, if she's really serious, is to take the information she's getting from the public and investigate the charges more thoroughly, or direct the Citizens Police Review Board, appointed by the City Council for just this purpose, actually as a buffer, so the City Council doesn't have to hear these problems, to deal with the issue and to really discuss it and take testimony out. And I would encourage the CPRB to do that. And who knows? Maybe they will. They have a meeting coming up in July and another in August. Unfortunately, the July meeting, which is coming up this next Monday, about 5 days away, most of their time they're going to spend listening to this bogus auditor from San Jose, who is an even weaker form of police review than we have here in Santa Cruz. But who knows? Caller, you can call again if you want, and we'll try to put you on the air. You can call in at 427-3772 if you want to be on this show. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside. I'm your host, Robert Norris, also known as a Bathrobes Pierre, for my fine, professionally tailored, actually it's rather modest, but my bathrobe that I wear to dramatize the need to end the sleeping ban, which is the city's law against homeless survival at night. They get the fuck out of town at night if you know it's good for you kind of law, which doesn't belong in a civilized community, and certainly not in Santa Cruz at this time. And most people know it, except there's a group in control in town that prefers to keep it in power and keep themselves in power as well. And they have the idea that unless they keep it in power, they won't stay in power. A little more of Dan White's story. On Monday, many said the homeless and street people are the victims, not victimizers. Activist Steve Argue called the meeting a sham and accused the council of targeting the poor. Some loudly heckled merchants complaining of intimidating behavior from street people downtown. Now, I didn't hear a lot of heckling. I heard some audience response on both sides, on all sides, and I thought that was healthy. This idea that Fitzmaurice uses at the city council meeting and that Crone is now enforcing like some kind of robot, where if people say anything from the audience, they're directed to leave or threatened or warned, is an intimidating process which essentially destroys the First Amendment in public discussion. And it's good that the public is forcing Riley and Porter to hold some real democratic meetings, although because these are token meetings being rushed through before the council recess, which will be at the end of July, I don't think the council is going to pay much attention to this input, particularly since the input is stop harassing people downtown, oh police department. I don't think the council is prepared to go toe-to-toe with the police department. But I think that everyone out there should call Emily Riley at 420-5020. You can call her at that number even right now and say, I want you to act on the recommendations that on the 17 votes that the proposal that got the most votes at this subcommittee meeting was one that said stop police harassment. Therefore, what you need to do is investigate this more fully. Because, frankly, this wasn't orchestrated by me. I didn't, get a band of people to come marching into this meeting. I distributed a flyer, talked about the meeting, talked about police harassment. But the police harassment that many people talked about, I hadn't even heard about. You know, these were musicians who were telling their own stories. These were people who were concerned for their own, based on their own experience. And, of course, the city council will show that it has no interest in what poor people are thinking or saying when they don't take action on this issue. That's not going to be a surprise. What we have to do, of course, is take action ourselves. And I encourage you to give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and report any incidents that you see or have heard about downtown, where they happen, when they happen, who they happen to, what went on, because the police will not put forward in their reports the reports of the people who did see this guy being beaten without significant provocation, and that the whole thing seemed to be a preposterous escalation, the breadcrumbed terrorist, as I mockingly call this incident, the man who went to jail on, what was it, $25,000 bail, because the police provoked an incident with him, because they wanted to make it more difficult for Food Not Bombs to feed in front of Neil's surf shop, because people did not truckle low enough to the police department. Bad stuff, folks. That's not a good thing. And if we have people like Sergeant Baker who are leading this thing, they're making bad choices. They need to get some retraining. They need to get some time off. We need to have a different system of dealing with this whole situation. And you're not going to get it from the city council. And unfortunately, I don't think you're going to get it from the downtown merchants, although there's some who are sympathetic to this. And I, again, continue to call for mass meetings on this issue. I think the kind of meetings that are happening here are good. The problem, of course, is they're being rushed. I mean, so the people are not really allowed to thrash out all the details of what needs to be done. You know, if merchants are upset with people in front of their stores, you know, part of me says, well, you know, fuck off. It's a public sidewalk. But another part of me says, hey, we're all trying to live here. Let's try to work together to see what we can do to address these issues. And if we talk long enough about it, maybe we can come to some understandings about codes of conduct. And that's the second thing I suggest to folks out there. If you're a member of one of the groups, whether you're a skateboarder or a panhandler, or if you're a street vendor, a street musician, if you're a local resident, the thing to do is to get together a sort of a code of conduct that you're willing to abide by, you think meets the concerns of other groups, and at the same time, a set of basic rights that you feel you should be entitled to in terms of basic respect downtown. I think each group should have a code of rights and a code of conduct. And to bring that to a public meeting would be, I think, a very positive thing to do. And in fact, that kind of process started back in 1995 when the city council, on resolution from Councilwoman Celia Scott, passed the downtown mediation study, which was done by two professional mediators at a cost of $10,000, Daniel Robin and Kim Hallinan. And they're both still around, but they're otherwise employed. They can't really do any work on it now. They have already done some work. It's already started. I have copies of it. I gave a copy publicly to city council at the last council meeting. Riley claimed that she'd read it, but she didn't refer to it once in the second meeting. So I don't know whether she's doing anything with it at all. By the way, if either of those council members happen to be listening in, please feel free to call in. And that includes you. Our phone lines are open. You don't have to be a council member to call this show. Most council members are afraid to call this show. But don't you be afraid. 427-3772. 427-3772 is the phone number to call if you want to be on the air. Let's listen to a little more. Actually, let's take a brief breather from the downtown committee vote process. They were kind of, again, voting on your top three priorities. Let's hear a little singing from the Right to Sleep Walk and Rollers, as I call them, the folks who are actually putting their sandals, their shoes, and their feet, and their weary bones where their mouths are, and walk into Sacramento to say, end the sleeping dance.
It's all the stuff we go. We're in the creek, we cannot sleep. Oh no, oh no, I ho, I ho.
It's off the sack we go. We're in the street,
we cannot
sleep. Hi-ho, hi-ho,
a little
hi-ho.
It's off the sack we go. We're in the street, we cannot sleep.
Hi-ho,
oh no.
All right. The truth is so.
Santa Cruz, let's sit down.
I like standing up. People can
sit down together.
Oh, this is a place in front of Borders where kind of folks gather. It's an open space, but the city fathers and mothers don't like that. They want to drive people away from here, and that's what's going to happen at the next city council meeting on Tuesday. They're going to establish a task force to essentially recommend more repressive laws. We need less repressive laws. We need the right of people who want to show their art, their jewelry on the street, to be able to show it. We need musicians to have the right to play music on the street. I mean, not only for their sake and for our sake, but for the whole community's sake.
I'm still sticking with my three things, which has to do with violence and safety downtown. And if we can improve on these three things, I totally believe that a lot of our issues that we're concerned about here will come around by itself. Number one, it's A1, it's get rid of the hard drugs. F, get rid of the gangs. On F, hire back the social workers. And that's definitely for the safety of everybody, including our police department.
And this is a former host speaking, Kira, again at the Monday meeting of the Downtown Problems Group.
As well as us.
I just got back from the I feel a lot of division in this room. I feel a lot of passive aggressive anger, and I'm angry. I feel very angry. I would like you to focus on public safety concerns, not personal safety concerns, but public safety concerns. I've had people homeless, I imagine, or people who are on drugs walk into my store and actually pin my customers in the store and keep them from exiting, scare them to death. And you know, that goes with respect. I'm trying to earn a living. I'm trying to have a business, and I feel if somebody's going to harm me, that's unfair. But that's very unfair. And harm others. I've had customers ask me. Okay. Personal safety, respect. And I think bringing families back down to downtown. People don't want to come downtown. They say, why do you even have a business down there? Gosh, you know, it's very hard to have a business down there.
And you'll notice that there wasn't any heckling when this woman expressed a position that is not very popular with most of us who are regular listeners to this show, who are concerned about the rights of poor and homeless people. The only person interrupting her was the council member, Emily Riley, who was asking which of the concerns were number one, two, and three. So I'm not quite sure what Dan White was talking about in his article where he talked about people interrupting and heckling. Some loudly heckled, merchants complaining of intimidating behavior from street people. They also accused police and council members of ignoring the offenses of housed troublemakers like unruly drunks leaving clubs and bars. And this is an interesting article, which I've talked about already. And the whole tape is interesting. The city council did not tape this. The only person who taped it was John Teelking, who went around taping it, who's an activist who works with Huff. I want to thank you, John, for doing that kind of taping, because this is the kind of documentary record we need to have, so people can look back on it, people who weren't there can benefit from it. But since those of you who are listening to this show regularly may have been to this meeting, rather than play it again, I'm going to play some interviews you haven't heard that happened subsequent to that, that happened actually yesterday. I'm going to play some interviews that happened downtown when I walked from the farmer's market down to the Cinema 9 Theater and thereabouts. Some interesting interviews, which I'm going to play now.
55, and you, what's your name?
Annie.
And Annie, what happened to you today?
I hitchhiked here at about 5 in the morning. I got picked up by some girl. We came into town. We were about to go to Arcata, but now I can't go anywhere because I came into town and I went to go get free food and a shower.
What time was this?
Probably 12 o'clock, 11:30, 12 o'clock.
At St. Francis or the Homeless Service Resource Center?
Wherever you get a free meal, just a meal and a shower.
Okay, probably St. Francis.
By the railroad tracks. And so I walked down there. I have a puppy. He's about 3 months old, and I rolled down one of the windows, and I left him in the car. And I came back, and the cops were in the car trying to take my dog.
They claimed you were behaving in an inappropriate fashion? Or?
No, they said that I was abusing my animal for leaving him in the car. and that he was going to die, and that I was a horrible pet owner, and that I that's a felony charge, and that they should throw me in jail right now, and I should put my dog down because it bit an officer, because the officer broke into my car. Of course my dog's going to bite them. Broke into my car.
And who is the officer? Do you know the name?
One of those ladies over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you identify her for me, which one it was?
It was that one and that one.
Those two women?
Yeah, and a few other ones, but those are the ones that I discussed things with.
Pointing out two not CSOs, but actual police officers in blue, in shorts, who are here on the mall.
So yep.
Were you held in jail?
Mm-hmm.
For how long?
I went to jail under the impression this officer had told me that I would be released in just a few hours, that they weren't, because the only reason they sent me there was because I had no identification. They said, we can't just put your dog in jail and not put you in jail because you don't have any ID, and that's what we need. And so they took me down there, and they just threw me in a cell, and they didn't book me. And then next thing I heard, that my bail was $5,000, and I said, that has to be completely incorrect, because I was told that I was going to be released within a few hours. It's already been about 4 or 5 hours, and no one's talked to me, and all I know is that my bail is $5,000, and I don't know anybody in this whole state. I'm just passing through. And they said, well, we'll have to straighten that out. And then they came back, and they said, come here, and they took my fingerprints, and they let me go.
And do you have a court date?
Yep.
And do you have, can I see your booking slip?
Right here.
All right, let's check this out. Here's the Santa Cruz County Field Arrest Report. For Annie Lee O'Brien. So it looks like
We do know you.
Searching officer was 88. Oh, come on. It's commenting on my T-shirt. You don't know me. Looks like your charge is violating section 597APC, California Penal Code, Officer Piri Parsi, number 38. Now, that's probably the deputy who signed you out.
Yep.
The actual police officer who signed the citation, however, I'm still kind of looking. Here's the field arrest report. Looks like badge number 88. It doesn't clear. Was all your property returned to you?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And the final piece of paper is a same one. Is there any more clarity? Again, not clear. 88.
Officer
Andrews, 175. Yeah, that is one of the... Looks like three police officers are double parked up here. I better go investigate this. Tim, shall we proceed to chalk point to the officers so they can people can get more information? Thank you very much. This will be on free radio tomorrow at between 6 and 8.
What are you going to do now? You're pointing them out?
We're going to see what they're doing. We seem to have four police officers.
Don't tell them that I gave you information.
No. Okay, well, this is for free radio. You don't want this?
Well, that's fine. You
okay.
Can put it on the radio. Just don't talk to them right now. And
No, I won't. I won't. So we have, looks like, four police officers.
Giving out a good driver award.
Giving out a good driver award?
That's what I heard.
Oh, well.
Hi.
So what are these police officers doing? Free radio wants to know.
I just watched them pull over somebody who was playing their music too loud.
Oh, that's what it was.
And not this car, the car that was here like 1 minute ago.
And was it very loud? Or?
No, as far as I heard, no. Juan Diego, it wasn't too loud.
You were here? We're
about? Yeah, I was sitting here.
So we're in front of Costa Brava, we're near the planter. What's your name?
My name's Carolyn.
Carolyn, are you a local or out of...
Yes.
And who is this younger person with you?
This is my son, Diego.
How old is Diego?
He's 2.5.
So, hi, Diego. So, you were here and another car was stopped by... Which officer stopped the car, do you know?
Yeah, the woman who's talking with this man in the other car right here.
Okay.
And he was an African-American with his little boy in the front seat. And they're headed to the movies. I heard them talking to the police. And, you know, the music had a very strong bass to it, but it wasn't very loud. No.
Well, I think she's particularly sensitive. If this is Officer, this is Wendy Bynes, and may well be.
I think she is. I heard somebody call her Wendy.
Wendy?
But
I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, Wendy has done this before. She's and actually at the same spot, and it was also a black man
uh-huh.
and a Cadillac.
Uh-huh.
But since she has a partner who's an African American, it would seem that this wouldn't necessarily be an example of a racial discrimination, or it'd be unusual if it were. At least that's the scuttlebutt. But so you didn't hear excessive noise?
No.
Did you inform the man who got the ticket that you'd be a witness for him?
Yeah, I actually said to the police that I didn't think it was very loud, and I asked if they were giving him a ticket because of the music.
Right.
We said yes.
And do we know why this person is being stopped here?
No. Uh-huh. No.
Huh. Well, it could be that this is just law and order taking good form downtown. You know? I mean, I think that...
Are we waiting for a cab?
Is it?
No.
Wow. And how long was the stop for?
Oh, about 10 minutes, I guess. You mean how long did she hold him here and talk to him? Yeah.
She did give him a citation?
Yes.
Were you able to get the man's number or license plate, or did you get his name to him? Because the police will do nothing with what you have to say, I'm quite sure.
No. He said, you know, he'd take my name to go to court to protest, but then he didn't ask me, so he said, ciao.
I see. So
yeah.
He wanted to, or he wanted not to be? He wanted.
Well, he said it, initially he said it, and then after as he was leaving, I think he was just fed up. He just wanted
to
go.
Get away.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a Papa Bear with a long day. I could tell by how he was.
Well, can I get your
frustrated?
Can I get your name and number to put on a complaint about the police that I'm giving and have you as a witness?
Sure.
Okay. We'll do that right now. We just heard from street busker and sometimes spare changer Steve Elliott that his proposal to drop charges against, I guess, at some agency locally, provided that they instead provide more computers for the homeless at the library, that he actually got the dignity of a response either from the courts or from some other agency, and the answer was no, but at least I guess they told him no rather than simply just ignoring him, and that's supposed to be in the Sentinel on Friday. Here we have that notorious vendor criminal, Randy Sue, who has just had two teeth pulled up, and so we don't expect anything from you, Randy Sue. You take
care. No, but do you know Mike Truth, who plays the guitar?
I do. In fact, we had him earlier on this tape interviewed.
Oh, so you know about his CDs?
Yes.
Oh, he was asking me if
any
I
further
could ask around if anyone witnessed what they were doing to entrap them.
And also,
and Randy Sue runs a little Rose donation business for just trying to make enough money to get into an apartment in front of the Cinema 9, and she's been getting a lot of harassment. She's talking about a musician, Mike True, who has appeared on this show and has been ticketed at least 3 times for displaying his own CD music while playing, and that's considered a criminal behavior in Santa Cruz, at least by some police officers.
Any instances of harassment downtown, including chalking on the sidewalk, Rose woman harassment, that sort of
thing? Well, there was a female officer today. Now, Officer Phelps told me that they still, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing with the signs, the holding of. Mine's usually on a chair, duct taped to a chair. And the basket's here, and I got a bucket of roses here, and a bucket.
Looks like you've contracted your whole display somewhat. You have one bucket of roses, a basket, and the sign is leaning against your knees, and you're sitting on a milk crate.
I have to hold it, because the female officer told me today that I have to hold it. I said, Officer Phelps said that he was going to talk to the superiors to see if indeed we do have to hold it, don't have to hold it, can have it on another piece of our...
The matter is not up to the superiors. They also have been telling people you can't put the sign on the sidewalk like this.
Well, so I have had it like this.
Right, that's...
Okay.
That is not the case, as far as I can see.
Well, the female officer was rude, and she said, well, look...
Her name is...
I know. I'm such
the name.
I know. I'll recognize her. Freckled. Very young and freckled. Never saw her before.
CSO or ordinary police?
Ordinary police. And she was with the female cop on the bike. And cause
when did this happen?
At about 10:30 this morning. 11.
You been hassled since?
No. But
any money since?
No, I left. After that, I was so aggravated with the tooth and the holding the sign, and I had 2 buckets of roses. I left, and I came back. I think we met before.
He's the criminal chalk. So we're walking now to Long's Drugstore. Mr. Rinker and I, someone, I don't want to say who, in blue chalk has chalked, all art is not in museums.
And someone else over at the front of O'Neill's Surf Shop has chalked chalk crime scene. So it appears that some individuals, scofflaws all, are trying to disregard the clear instructions of our merchant and police community to resist the temptation to deface our sidewalks with this sinister, erasable chalk. Your view, Tim?
I'm doing my best to do what's right.
Good, good. Well, it's, I think as we all are, certainly.
In fact, I think of the movie poster for Do the Right Thing with the little girl writing the title Do the Right Thing in chalk on the street.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You know, that's kind of sinister. I think it shows the natural criminal tendencies of some of the those of darker hue, don't you think?
No, definitely the downfall of American society.
The darker races, yes. Thank you, Tim. So here we have a little slogan that's written next to Long's. It says, as seen on the sidewalk, sidewalk chalk, available here, celebrate 4th of July with tons of
sidewalk chalk.
And then there's some additional graffiti, obviously vandalism of some sort. Chalk, you read in it, chalk
between the curbs?
Chalk between the curbs safely, also stairs, driveways, and then signed NK. And then there's 9.20.010MC, which is, of course, the code section for defacing the sidewalk. And over here, chalk safely on the path of life. With a little smile. Very nice. Your name, sir?
My name's David Capiello. I wasn't a heroin dealer. It was just, that's what they printed in a newspaper.
And you were, in fact, the man who was stabbed by the fellow upset with Sam's death?
Yes, yes.
Do we know the name of your assailant?
I don't know the name.
This is an interview with the individual who stabbed in front of Borders Books or thereabouts. By another individual who was upset by the overdose of Sam, who overdosed on heroin in one of the public porta potties more than a month ago, became a cause celebre downtown for the merchants to beat the drums to get rid of the folks in front of Borders and otherwise crack down.
And what happened?
He was just arguing with a group of people, and I asked him to keep his language down. He pulled out a knife and stabbed me, a kitchen knife.
Did he say anything as he did?
Nope. Did it. Took off.
And do you know this guy?
Nope, not personally.
Was he older, younger, white, black?
White, younger.
And had he been driving around nearby, or had he been, was he on foot, or what was
he? Yeah, he was just like in a crowd of people, that was it.
And what happened then?
That was it. Stabbed me and took off running.
What kind of treatment did you get after that?
I went to the hospital. They flew me to the hospital. I was in operation for 23 hours. Almost died.
And how are you? You look pretty good now.
I'm doing all right now. Pretty good.
You're showing me the bandage. A scar runs from your belly button all the way up to halfway up your chest. Well, right above your stomach.
Yeah.
How are you?
Pretty good. Lucky to be alive, thanks to the ambulance people.
And you are not a heroin dealer?
Nope, not at all. Nothing.
Now, what's the story about heroin downtown? Is there much of it, or is it mostly...
I'm not from here. Yeah.
Well, welcome to Santa Cruz.
Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm living in Angels Camp. I used to live here.
How long you been here?
On and off for 10 years.
So you're here, but you weren't born here?
No. Yeah.
Anything you want to say to Free Radio about this or anything else downtown?
No, not really.
Thank you very much. So we're here with a Camp Paradise person, Tony and her baby.
Lance.
And you normally work up at the Armadillo Cycler, but now you've got July, well, part of the 3rd and all of the 4th off.
Yep.
And what you going to do?
I'm going to a birthday party and catching up with some friends, and then I'm going hot tubbing.
Now we're talking. Now you haven't invited me to come hot tubbing with you.
No. This is just me and my husband.
Oh, typical. You know, I won't comment. So how are things going at Camp Paradise?
Very good.
And have you expanded? Are you up to 12 again? Or?
Right now we're at 12, and we're just kind of like staying there.
And are these mostly folks who've been there previously or new folks?
Mostly previous, and there's like 2 new people, so.
And is the internal process... Pretty much, is there a meeting every week? How does it work?
Yeah, we have one meeting every week, and then we have one that goes bi-weekly.
And is there one for the public to attend?
Of course.
Okay. When would that be? Because I've kind of lost touch.
have to check up with Larry on that one.
Ask him and let him let me know.
No problem.
I'll announce it on the radio in case folks want to come.
No problem. Everybody's still welcome to come out there to the new campsite.
I may just do that because I'm living in the Capitola area myself somewhat now.
No problem.
Thank you.
We're
talking to
the Reverend Dr. Electronic Galaxy J.
With a pack of tarot cards?
That's what they are.
Yeah. Go ahead, you were about to say.
Well, you know, I went into the Green Leaf store. I felt like I was it was a class issue that was happening in there. I paid $15 for a meal, and when I asked for a cup of water, one of the girls looked at me and said, just get out of here.
And which restaurant was this?
This is at the Green Leaf Deli. I went in to have some food. And
Green Leaf, where is it? I'm not sure. New Leaf Market up here?
Your New Leaf Market, yeah, that's what the name of it is. That was like my first time. I told him, I said, look, I don't appreciate being treated that way, especially after I've just paid this much money for a meal, you know, and, you know, all I wanted was a glass of water.
Had she served you the meal, or what, did she know?
I had the meal. I asked for a big cup so I could have a big cup of water, you know, I was going to leave. And she said, well, you have to pay 25 cents for the cup. I said, fine, here's 25. I'm not going to go stand in the line and wait, you know, so that developed into an insult match between the two of us. And I felt it was like, you know, the people that ran the restaurant or the store came up to her rescue and said, well, I know how my employees act. And I, you know, if I hear one more
short woman who was a manager.
Yeah, she came in, her name, I forgot what her name was, but she insulted me. She said, I said, well, can I have your name? And she goes, yeah, I'll write it down on this piece of paper. She reached into the garbage. This is in the deli. Pulled out a piece of paper. I said, look, you know, now you're violating health codes. You're being discriminatory towards customers who you don't even know, but based upon personal appearance, you're gonna, you know, assume that you can treat. I said, if somebody of importance in this community came in there and did what I did, which I left 30 cents for the glass of water, I told her to bring it up there. It's not my job. All I want was a glass of water. I was eating a meal there, and this is common sense. And if they can't treat their customers that way, I'm not gonna go there. And I'm gonna also insist to everybody that I talk to that they go to another health food place or a place where there's actually organic food there.
Now we're talking about New Leaf Market next to the two green kiosks that are in front.
Yes.
Because I've called for a boycott of New Leaf Market, Sushi Now, and Alibaba's Cafe for the last 6 months, based not so much on their internal policies, which I've had some concerns with, but upon the fact that they've been supporting that forbidden fence. In front, the green fence.
The internalization of this community is unbelievable. It's polarized completely. It's Mother Earth against Father Warrior, and there's like these people out here that they have to understand if they're gonna expose to a clientele that's based upon like a new age feeling, they can't go treating people like this without having repercussions upon their own business. It's like a community that has a huge lake, right? And then they want to put condos up. They don't realize that 20 years down the line, that lake is going to be polluted. People are no longer going to want to go there. It's no longer a tourist item because it's ruined. Mm-hmm. You know? That's what they're doing to the community
now,
here.
Perhaps you'd like to start a petition?
No, I don't, because I really, you know, I know how these communities act. I think that, you know, they go after people and they try to mess with them if they get involved. So eventually their karma cannot go like this without somebody.
You're also a man apparently of certainly perhaps African-American heritage?
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not suggesting it's had anything to do with the situation. What
do you
think?
That's what I said to them inside of there. She said, that's when she proceeded to pull the piece of paper from the trash and hand it to me. And I told her I felt that there was a racial class issue that was going on. She felt that she had the authority to treat me in that manner without any repercussions. And she did. But it came out, and I made a scene in there a little bit. I said, this is a racist issue.
Were you raising your voice?
I was raising my voice.
Were you raising her voice?
Well, she had a guy come out there like he was going to do something, like he was going to back her up physically, like he was going to be like her mafia bodyguard or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had just spent money in there as a customer, and I was completely insulted over a glass of water.
What was the final outcome? What did she say? Did she ask you to leave? Did she press you?
What she said was, she goes, if I have one more customer complaint, I said, what? She says, oh, my employee. I said, no customer ever complained about what I just said in here to you. And she said, well, you know, I'll take that into my own consideration when I consider it. And I was like, what are you going to get? What are you talking about? I'm coming in here as a customer, and I felt completely, like I had been wronged in the situation.
Discriminated against, perhaps.
Absolutely, and that's what I brought to her attention, is that she was allowing her employees to discriminate, and her employees said, well, I'm engaged to a black man. Well, the fact is that what you did was you based upon a prejudice of your own, you felt that you had the ability to insult a customer who just spent money in there to eat a lunch.
I also want to mention that you're informally dressed, neatly, but informally dressed. You could be mistaken for a street person, perhaps, or perhaps you are a street. You also have a tooth missing.
Yeah.
So you're one of your front teeth, so it might be construed that you are a lower income person.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what it all is. And I told her, I said, one of these days you're going to treat somebody like that, you're not going to know who they are, and they're going to come forward with a lawsuit against you. And that's what's happening. It's going to boil down to that.
Any objections to my playing this on free radio tomorrow?
Well, no problem with it, but at the same time, keep it okay.
I'll just play what I've got.
Well, play what you got.
Go ahead, Randy, sir.
Six or seven blonde teenage girls climbing on the statue with one of those giant bags of popcorn that you refill before you leave the movies.
Right.
Hearing now is a report from Randy Sewinchel, the flower lady in front of the Cinema 9, that a group of young, middle class, maybe teeny bopper types were littering the sidewalk with popcorn and feeding the birds. And this is exactly what went on at the homeless meal a week and a half ago, when a homeless man was accosted by a police officer. I don't know whether it was Officer Andrews or Hoy or Bynes. It was a female police officer who insisted that he pick up the breadcrumbs. He either refused at the time, or Freedom Out Bombs intervened, said they would, or he did a little bit. The stories differ. But he insisted on not taking a ticket for it, and they essentially used force against him and threats, and he got into an altercation with him, and there was violence that ensued, and he's now multiply in jail on felonies. He was arraigned on Tuesday and is still in custody. But, let the teeny boppers do it and the police ignore it. This is what you're hearing now from Randy Sue.
Okay. They're deliberately throwing it in handfuls. Right. Pigeons coming from everywhere. Four or five.